We invite the devil into the church, but we don't invite the Holy Spirit. Christianity is the only religion that has authority. We own the devil. And in the end, you will have the last laugh, not the devil.
Brother, I got to ask you, first and foremost, what is the devil's playbook?
The devil's playbook is the methods of the enemy, the methods of the demonic kingdom, the footsteps of the demonic kingdom, the arsenals of the demonic kingdom, the attack, the schemes, the wiles, the setup, the delays of the demonic kingdom. Christians don't see it. Christians don't understand it. Christians don't know how to. Christians haven't been fully discipled in spiritual warfare. Mm. And this book has the ingredients to get you there.
Help us understand, how did you come to understand about the spiritual warfare and these weapons that we need to be wielding?
Well, my life was, as you know, 25 years serving the devil faithfully. I'm like the opposite of the Apostle Paul. Paul said he served the Lord flawlessly. He served the Lord 100%. He served the Lord, and he prosecuted Christians. I served the devil faithfully. There was no wrinkle. There was no mistakes me serving the devil the way I did. I did it wholeheartedly to serve the devil. I learned the demonic kingdom. I learned the methods. I learned the strategies. I learned the entrapment of the demonic kingdom because I was equipped to put this on people's lives, Christians and non-Christians alike.
So you weren't just somebody dabbling with the occult or witchcraft. You were deep and heavy.
I was the occult.
Yeah,
I was the occult. I wasn't. It's like today we have, like say today, right? We have the One World Order, right? We have Illuminati's, right? People say you got Jay-Z and you got Beyonce, and I'm just gonna call it the way it is, right? You got like Mark Anthony, Jennifer Lopez, P. Diddy. Oh, we Illuminati's. No, you're not. You dabbling. Mm. You puppets on a stage that you can't see. The Illuminati's are the Rothschilds. The Illuminati's are the Rockefellers. You'll never reach that kind of money. You'll never reach that kind of status. They're using you for what they're doing. They're using you to bring the demonic to the forefront. But you're a pawn in a chess game. You're not the king. You're not the queen. You're not the bishop. You're just a pawn. Yes, they'll let you say what you want to say to a certain extent. Yes, they'll let you talk the way you want to talk. Yes, they'll let you know, they'll let you advertise their logo. But you don't own the logo. They own the logo. Mm. And this is in the demonic kingdom. I didn't dabble. I was in that kingdom that I owned part of the logo.
Wow.
Of what the demonic kingdom was about. So today I'm able to come and train my brothers and sisters and equip my brothers and sisters, not out of something of a fairy tale or something out of, I think this is the way it works. No, I know the way it works.
I know you say that there is doorways and things that we open up, whether we realize it or not. Let's talk about some of those things that actually give the devil access, and specifically about
halftime Christians shows. Or to Christians, or you talking about non-believers?
Either or.
Non-believers are a bunch of idiots. I mean, bottom line, a bunch of idiots. You playing into a stage that the script is not yours. You're part of this. You're an actor on a stage that doesn't belong to you. You know, and Jesus, us Christians, we are part of a kingdom, right? We hold shares, part of a kingdom, that we're doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's us. We are going somewhere. We have a future where we're going. Eternity, heaven, paradise, a place that people don't cry. We don't say goodbye. People don't get sick. People don't die. We're going somewhere awesome. These people that they bought at a cheap price, right? Because you can't sell your soul to the devil, by the way. You could sell your allegiance, your time, and your devotion. That's what you sell. You can't sell the deed of your soul because the deed of your soul, Jesus owns it. Mm. He owns your car. You see, so you can't sell that. But these Illuminati's and these Freemasons and these occult practices, whatever practices they are, like the one I was in, they give you the illusion that you can sell something that doesn't belong to you, and then they make you part of something that you feel that you belong to, but it is a fantasy. It is of the reality of it is a false reality. Let's put it this way. So when they put you on stage on the Grammys or halftime football game, you're just an idiot up there doing someone else's dirty work, you know. And I say the truth because bottom line, I was an idiot for 25 years of my life. I was doing the devil's work and trying to make him happy and trying to please him and trying to fulfill something that had a dead end to it. So today, Christians, we open doors in our lives because we enter eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate, wind, mind, heart. You know, these are portals and gateway that the devil understand that if I can get in one of those doors, I have access of your life. And this is the so key about the devil's playbook. It is teaching you, equipping you, is discipling you to be the vessel of honor that the Lord Jesus Christ could. Yes, it's fine. You're going to have dents on your armor. It's like I went to Times Square Church and I just said this one thing. I haven't been there in 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. I watched it online. And I went yesterday. And the first thing they were talking about, spiritual warfare. You know, and he made a great analogy about football. And he said he pre-taped the games because he's preaching. He's out and about. But he know his team won. Yes, they take dents. Yes, they take hits. Yes, they fumble the ball. Yes, they throw the ball. But in the end of the game, they win. You see? So Christians, yes, your arm is going to take some dent. It's going to take some hit, but you're going to win. But you keep the doors closed.
Mm. So, John, let's talk about the way that some of these doorways get opened.
I used to see the devil in person, right? He'll come in different ways, right? In different facets, different forms, different attitudes. He'll come in different characteristics when I used to meet him when I was in B.C. before Christ. But he's still the same devil. I mean, I can dress up in green. I look like a leprechaun today, right? But then I can wear blue and look like a Smurf, but I'm still John.
Mm-hmm.
And people tend to not see that. And we open doors and generational curses are increased and sickness are increased in our family. And bloodline curses, demonic curses are there. Devil say, well, now he tells heaven, I got rights.
Mm.
You can't stop me. They open the door. And the Bible says, if you don't come to repentance and renunciation, those rights are still going to be there. And that's when Christians suffer the consequences of their spiritual actions. And then later on, they want to blame the church. They want to blame the pastor. They want to blame God. But they don't point the finger to themselves. How did I get here?
Yeah. So how do people get there? What are some of these ways that people open up these doors that you mentioned in the book?
One thing right here. This is the blueprint of how the methods of the devil. Exposing the devil. This is what Christians say. I'm being attacked by Jezebel. I'm being attacked by a python spirit. It's too late. The footsteps on the hallway. You miss the footsteps on the hallway. You miss the spiritual footstep of that devil that was walking down the hallway before the door was open into your season, your life, your purpose, and your destiny. If I'm being attacked by some demonic force, I miss the footsteps. I miss the way it operates. When in my life, as myself, when things, spiritual things start, I feel the atmosphere is changed. I feel things are not right. I feel a check in my spirit. Before the attack comes, before the storm shows up, before the hurricane shows up in Florida or North Carolina, which we pray for those wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Before you show up, you feel the winds, the waves are starting to change. Those are the footsteps before the hurricane shows up. So in the spirit realm, Christians don't see it because they're not trained. They're not equipped. They have discernment. You can have discernment, but if you don't know the footsteps, if you don't know the methods of the enemy, your discernment ain't going to do nothing for you. Understand? David was a king. David was a warrior. Before he was a king, David was a killer. David was poetic. He can play music. I mean, David was a renaissance. But his biggest enemy was standing on his right side on his blind spot, Saul. He didn't see it. You see? So what's standing on your blind spot? What footsteps? And exposing the devil's playbook is going to teach you the method, the footsteps of the enemy before he shows up at your door, before he shows up in your marriage, before he shows up in your house, church, ministry, purpose, destiny. You see the footstep. If you can see the footstep, you could be on the offense. Before, you could be on the offense. You don't have to be in the defense all the time. And then this is the famous words of every Christian. I'm waiting on God. Yeah, I mean, I'm not waiting on
the offense.
God will always do his part. God's telling me, would you do yours?
Yeah.
God said, I will always do my part, John, but I will never do yours. You got to do your part. We're in partnership. Two hands clapping. We're in covenant with the kingdom. You know, the kingdom suffered violence. The violence take it back by force. We're in covenant. Christians been discipled to say, oh, God paid everything on the cross. He paid for all your sins on the cross, past, present, and future, but you still have to fight. And yeah. The closer you want to get to the Lord, the bigger the fight. But if you want to be a lukewarm Christian, you want to be one of them, you know, Sunday Christians, a Christian Dior, you want to be a Christian Dior Christian, then the devil, don't worry about the devil. Worry about you not, if you're going to make heaven or not. Because the bottom, the truth be told, God is not part of my life. God is my whole life.
Mm. Yeah. So what are some of these footsteps in people's lives that they don't even realize? And let's talk about how to pivot that and turn into the and go into the offensive as quickly as possible.
Well, really quick. I mean, one of the footsteps I write in one of the chapters of Faith in Dark Times. That's one of the chapters in the book. And then talk about, you know, I give the analogy of Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps won 28 medals, 23 gold. And before he got to the gold medal part, before he got to the Olympics, his coach was training him to swim in the pool in different aspects, in different conditions, in different opportunities to swim in the pool. Sometimes the coach would turn off the whole lights and let him swim in the dark. Sometimes the coach would put holes in his goggles so his waters will go into his goggles and swim back and forth to understand the pool, to know how to swim in the pool, to know how many laps it takes, how many strokes it takes, how many times it takes to flip on the wall and come back. In Beijing, he threw himself in the water and the goggles got filled with water, but the training kicked in.
Mm.
And then when he took off the goggles, he heard the people cheering, and he was like, he was cheering for the next guy because he couldn't see a thing. When he took the goggle, he broke the world record. Mm. Why? Because he knew how to swim in the dark. He was trained to swim in the dark. And exposing the devil's playbook is teaching you how to swim in the dark. You don't have to see what's going on. You just got to trust God. Swim in the dark. Know the methods of the enemy. Know how to apply your spiritual weapons against those things. So you can kill, steal, destroy whatever the devil has on you. Instead of using their words on you, use it on him from afar. That's why you have to be a spiritual sniper. They're going to shoot you from close. I'm going to shoot you from 50 yards before you show up to my house. You know, I don't need you to show up at my house. And I don't know if you, overeat. You know, we take care of spiritual business before it shows up at your doorstep. And that's what the book is about. The ingredients of this book is, I mean, the book right now, I think is best ranked seller. It's like 2,800. He already got close to 30 reviews in 2 weeks. Wow. It's touching people's lives, 5 stars, and people being touched. People have been saying, oh, my God, I never seen it this way. Oh, man, now I understand it. Now I can walk in it. Now I can live in it, and I can finish in it victorious as a believer in Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of deception out there right now, and people that are calling good evil and evil good. And you write a whole chapter about the woke church, and I'd like to hear your take on that and what is going on in our culture right now.
And well, the woke church. I mean, look at the practices. Look at the satanic practices in the church. Look at the profane practice in the church. No fear of God anymore. They lost the fear of God. You lose the fear of God, you do anything. You don't have a God. You don't have a barometer of direction. How to live holy. Look at the practices. Look at churches today doing trick or treat, practicing these demonic holidays. Look, when I was a devil worshiper, you would have never. Even if you pay me $1 million, he trying to give me $1 million, come to church on Good Friday. No way. What a devil worshiper has to do with Good Friday? I hated Good Friday. You know, I didn't want no Good Friday in my life. I didn't care about Good Friday. I didn't care about no cross. I didn't care about no crucifixion. That didn't mean nothing to me. It means the world to me now. It means my life to me now. But back then, you ain't catch no devil worshiper saying, oh, I'm here Good Friday. I can't wait till the service starts. No way. Today, we invite the devil into devil into the church, but we don't invite the Holy Spirit anymore. Mm. You know, and the desecration of the church is just crazy. I mean, it is demonic. The woke church, we practice the things of the kingdom of darkness into our church instead of letting the church influence the kingdom of darkness and getting people saved, baptized, deliver, conviction, salvation, the truth. Let the truth set you free. It is popularity. I want to be famous. You know what happened to the church? The woke church. We love the things we do, but we don't love who we do it for anymore.
Mm.
That's what I wrote in the book. We love it. We love the things we do because it brings attention to us, but we don't love the person we do it for anymore, which is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
We don't do that anymore.
So the big issues that we have really come to, we don't love Jesus the way that we think we do.
No, we don't. We lost our first love. I mean, one of the churches in Revelation, they lost their first love. And he said, we rich, we this, we that. Yeah, because you're rich and you got a private jet. Ain't nothing wrong with a private jet. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with a private jet. Ain't nothing wrong with you having, you got a yacht. Nothing wrong with those things. It's how you practice. It's what you do. What's first in your life. I mean, a lot of people in the Bible was rich. Adam was rich. Adam was rich. Abraham was rich. David was rich. Solomon was rich. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible. You know, they weren't broke, but they love God. They wanted God more than anything in their lives. They didn't flaunt their riches. They didn't put their riches before them. You know, you got these idiots today, call themselves bishops and pastors and whatever. You know, they flaunt stuff. I flaunt the cross. I flaunt the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm dead to the world and I'm alive in Christ. And this is in the book, Exposing the Devil's Playbook, it teaches you how to live that life, that Christian, the values of Christian life. Because if you can live that life in the book and through the strategies, understanding the methods, the chessboard game of the enemy, how he moves, how he strategizes, how he sets you up, how he try to conquer you, understanding those methods, well, you understand. To the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you have the authority. We're the only religion that has authority over the devil.
Hmm.
Think about it. Christianity is the only religion that has authority. We own the devil.
Yeah.
The devil owns every other religion.
Wow. So, John, you've had tremendous experience, or not tremendous, but you've had a lot of experience for those 25 years being on the other side. And you've had a lot of experiences where you were face to face with the devil. Tell me about what that was like and how God rescued you from that.
Well, you know, I mean, that was just, you know, I was a slave master. I was a slave to the enemy's camp for 25 years, lived in fear, because you live in fear, because if you leave, the devil kills you. I mean, look at the life of P. Diddy today, right? The devil don't need him anymore. Look where he's at today. I pray for him. Everybody sinned. Everybody falls short. Am I in agreement with the sin of P. Diddy? Am I in agreement to say he deserved what he got? I don't talk that way. You know why? Because we all deserve God's judgment. But look, I pray for his soul to be saved. But look, the devil don't need him anymore. The devil's done with him. The contract that he had between the devil, it's over. There's no new contract. The devil got what he wanted. He won the game. He ain't going to renew no contract with P. Diddy. He's done. He needs Jesus. He needs to be saved. He needs the Holy Spirit to go into that jail cell and introduce the gospel to him. That's all I have to say about that. But 25 years, died, 1999, went to hell, met Jesus, met the devil, to just paraphrase it. The Lord put me back into my body. I became a believer in 19. I've been walking with the Lord for 24 years of my life.
Wow.
Through trials, tribulations, testings, trauma, witchcraft, to the highest point of witchcraft done to me still. But I'm still here because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. Because one of the things I wrote in one of the chapters in the book, Exposing the Devil, this is when the Christians crumble. In the greatest war, I said the greatest war, that chapter talks about, you talk about Exodus 7 and 8, how Moses show up, Aaron show up, God shows up, Pharaoh's there, his two magicians, and the devil. They show up in this schoolyard fight. This paraphrase, this schoolyard fight. Mm-hmm. You know, you got 80, 81 year old. you got God with them. You got Pharaoh. You got the two witches. They show up. Now they go back and forth doing, he dropped the staff. They do the same thing. Touches the water. They do the same thing. This is when the Christians go into their spiritual endurance kind of warfare. They see that God wins one round. The devil wins another. Christians crumble. Faith crumble. Unbelief kicks in. Doubt kicks in. Fear kicks in. The devil got you. Because in the fourth round of the fight, God tells Moses, strike this. Strike the dust of the earth. And then when he strikes it, it turns into gnats. How you put a DNA and antennas and eyes on dirt? Only God can do that. And God showed off. But God knows how to draw the line and let the devil go so far. But Christians fall in the middle of the battle and they get conquered. They become victim. They become incarcerated spiritually. And this book teaches you how not to be that victim, but to be victorious. when the long fight. Because people think, I pray, I fasted, I skip McDonald's, and I'm going to get my victory. I had no chicken McNuggets today. God's going to show up. What about if God said, I'll show up in 6 months, and you're in that fight for 6 months, or you're in that fight for 1 year, and you're praying and fasting, and you don't hear nothing from heaven? What do you do? I teach you, exposing the devil's playbook, how to stand and don't move from the place that God put you in, and you will have the victory. But don't let the devil push you back and lose your spot.
Amen. Don't let the devil push you back and lose your spot. Stand for victory.
Stand for victory. Stand. Yeah, the devil might push you, but he don't move you.
Yeah.
The winds come, but you're still standing. The hurricane shows up, but your house, you might lose a little window, you might lose a little, you know, side panel, but you're still standing. The foundation of who you are in Christ is standing. And in the end, you will have the last laugh, not the devil.